So we're excited about that and excited for you, but I'm more excited than any of those things. I'm excited our upcoming events, I promise you. And whatever happens downtown at the stadium or wherever your team plays that you're pulling for, I promise you, nothing more important than outreach events we've got planned here, nothing more important than people coming to Christ and finding out their need of a Savior and finding out that He's met their requirements and the qualifications to save them. Nothing more important than people finding peace and joy in the knowledge of Christ. So I'm excited about all these things. I hope you'll be praying. I hope you'll be paying attention. We will have a full fall, and we're excited about that. Romans chapter 1, we'll read just a few verses. We've been unpacking these the last 2 weeks. This is part 3 here in our spiritual warfare series. We'll just read a few of these. I hate to, but let me ask you, Stan, just one more time. We'll read God's Word together, and then we'll be seated the rest of the time. Thank you for that. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says here, this is it. This is what I am eager for. I am thrilled about this because the message of who Christ is and what Christ has done and what Christ wants to do in our lives, that is it. That is God's power. See, what does the world need? They need to hear and understand and obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That is it. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." What do you mean? God didn't play any favorites. God said all sin must be punished, and Jesus took our sins on the cross, and God didn't cut any deals, and God didn't excuse anything, and He bore the full wrath of our sins, your sins and my sins on the cross. Every four-letter word you've ever said, every time you've ever done anything you shouldn't have done, everything you've ever stolen, every time you've ever blasphemed, anything you've ever done that is an offense to God and you deserve punishment for, God said, "I took it out on Him. I unveiled my righteousness on Him." It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith." There's no amount of beads you can count and slide through that'll justify you, make you right with God. There's no amount, there's no amount of good works that you can do. There's no amount of food that you can serve. There's no amount of money that you can give. There's no amount of stuff and things and dues that you can accomplish that will ever make you right in the eyes of God. So that doesn't sound like good news. No, that's great news. You want to talk about being on the wheel to nowhere? You want to talk about being on the treadmill that never gets you any distance here? That's what works righteousness does. That's what self-righteousness does. That's what people who try and do better and people who try and reform. And he says, no, that's not it. Verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Ungodliness is vertical. Unrighteousness is horizontal. Who hold or suppress or rebel against the truth and unrighteousness. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God has spoken to them, and God is speaking in them. For God has showed it unto them." Say, nobody, see, people don't know. They don't understand. They may not understand everything, but they know something. Say, how can you know that? Because God's told them. God told them, this is right and this is wrong. Our conscience accuses us. Our conscience excuses us. Our conscience lets us know what's going on. And then the other things from the scripture there. Verse 20, "The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became empty, vain in their thinking, their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." I don't know, we'll get to the end of verse 21, but the first part there, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I want to help us today. What does that look like? What does that mean about people who rebel against God? And how do I know? How do I know if I'm living in rebellion? How do I know if I'm living in rebellion and rejection against God? I want to make it real clear for us today and give us a good handle on this. Pray with me one more time. Father, speak to every heart, I ask. Help me to preach Your Word with power and authority. May I speak clearly. May I enunciate well. May I use my time well. And I pray that You speak to every heart. Help me, Father. So many things on my mind this morning. And may I just focus on the text. May what I say and what I do give You honor and glory this morning. Lord, I need you. I pray that you would help us. Speak to us now, Holy Spirit. Use me and fill me, I pray, in Christ's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. I don't normally spend so much time in one passage. Sure don't spend that much time. Just a few sets of verses, but I'm just plowing through here. I looked the other day and just looked at just how many pages and pages have been written about these one verses here. And the reason is because they set things out for us. They give us a way to look at things and a way to template things. I mentioned too that we're in a warfare. Brother Tommy prayed this morning. It seemed like we're in a cultural warfare. And I would suggest to you we've been in a cultural warfare a long time. It just keeps taking different faces and different forms. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Folks from the 60s, they keep finding new stuff to fight about. The folks from the 70s and the 80s. And then the millennials who don't seem to have any concept of history at all. And I don't mean that ugly, but they're mad at the wrong people about some of the wrong things. Who put the statues up and who didn't put the statues up and who represented this and who represented that. It's kind of a crazy thing. But you can't talk to emotional people about things because they're just emotional. Everybody nod your head if you're with me. I'm not trying to tell you one way or the other about those things. I'm just saying there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of stuff. It'd be great to have a grown-up conversation about some of this, but doesn't seem to be able to happen here lately. And so we're looking at this, and we feel this way. And I would say even in our own souls, in the relationships we have. Some of you have friends and dear friends. Many have family, and they just don't seem to be that interested in the things of God. Nod your head if that's true. You know people just not that interested in the things of God. You know people who you thought used to be very interested in the things of the Lord. And they're not really interested anymore. Or people who say, you know, I know God, but then they just don't, I mean, their life doesn't line up anywhere near the Scripture. Well, that's bothersome, isn't it? It's bothersome. And some of us, they're people we really care a lot about. And let me help you. And God cares infinitely more about them. Well, the heartache of a parent or grandparent who sees a child, a grandchild, and they're not living like they should, even though they've been taught differently. The heartache of a husband or wife who's watching a spouse leave and depart from them. Andre and I have acquaintances and years ago we're friendly with. And the husband got up one morning and packed things in a bag and wrote a little note and said, I'm gone. He missed his son's graduation, missed his daughter's graduation. He missed their weddings. He has not been around ever since. And he just decided this is all a bunch of baloney and he was gone. Now, how do you make sense of that? What do you do? What do you do with thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've driven by here and will drive by here today who don't blink at what does it mean to be a part of a church or be acquainted with Christ, to be a Christ follower? How do you put all that together? And we've been trying to help and work our way through that these now 3 weeks. And I want to help you this morning. I want to help you. Just a real simple idea, and I want to give you about 8 or 9 ways to flesh that out. I'll go real quick here. We'll be right on time. But I want to help you this morning. I want to help you with a couple of things here. I want to talk to you. What does it look like? What does it look like as we go through here? Oops, I cut it off. What does it look like as we go through here as we understand this? Give me back the mouse there, guys. And what does it mean we look through this? All right, thank you. What does it mean here as we go through here? As we go through here. What does it mean? One more time. All right. All right, number one, men who rebel against God, they don't live for God. Or you can say it the reverse way. Men who don't live for God are in rebellion against God. So you're being cute with your words. I'm not being cute at all. Let me walk you through it. There is this idea that I can live for God, or that I can belong to God, but I don't live for God. And that's just not true. Not true. There's this other idea. There's this other idea that well, you know, it's just important what I say. I say this or I say that. They're cultural Christians. They're Southern Christians. They're Southeastern Christians, whatever. And they say this kind of thing, and I believe God, but then I don't live for God. And the Bible here kind of knocks that right in the head. See, men who rebel against God, then there's an obvious evidence. They don't live for God. Now, how do I know you don't live that way? What you believe always comes out in your actions. What you believe always comes out in your actions. Whatever it is, you can say it differently. Men who don't live for God are in rebellion against God. We tend to think about there's some neutral ground here. Well, I'm not really for God. I'm not really against God. I'm not really for Christianity or against Christianity. And I'm just kind of taking the middle ground here. There's just nowhere in Romans chapter 1 where you find that. It may take a little time. Nod your head if you're with me here. Nod your head if you're with me. It may take a little time for it to be fleshed out. It may take months. It may take years. It may take more time than that. But eventually it comes out, and you, all of a sudden you figure out, well, people are having, they're in rebellion against God because of how they live. It's not what they say. It's how they live. Their actions demonstrate the condition of their heart. Their actions demonstrate the condition of the heart. I'll give you an easy illustration. Dallas mentioned that the other day. Easy illustration. Man, it's hard to go to a funeral. Look at me. It's hard to go to a funeral and somebody say, now here in front of us lies the most awful human being who's ever lived. I mean, you think that'd be an awkward funeral. Anybody besides me? You know, we had to pay most of you to come to the funeral today, right? And, you know, it'd just be bad. It'd be awful, wouldn't it? Be awful. Most of the time you do what? Somebody gets up there and they go, well, you know. And they just talk about them, you know. How many of you ever been to a funeral and you wonder who was up there? Anybody besides me? You've been to a funeral and you're like, are you sure they got the right guy up there? Am I in the wrong chapel? Am I at the wrong service here? Because you're like, what? Who? Because everybody's trying to be nice because the person's passed away. And I don't know why. I don't know why we're worried about their feelings. Everybody nod your head if you're with me here. You know, funerals are for the living. You ought to preach to the living. And, you know, but anyway, we're kind of weird here. Kind of weird. You see that at the top. You see that when somebody's talking about somebody. They don't want to be mean or don't want to be ugly or whatever. And I got all that. I don't think it does us any good to be polite to the point where we're not teaching the scripture here. There is undeniable truth here. The people who are rebelling against God, they don't live for Him. They don't live for Him. And you can mark it down that people who aren't living for God, they're in rebellion. They're in rebellion. It's an active thing. It's a personal thing. We noticed a few weeks ago, the Bible says that they rebel against God, what He's revealed to them. Then they begin to reject the truth of God until they finally change the truth of God. That's the lie. We said last week that men ought to be urgent about getting the gospel to people. And people who need the gospel ought to be urgent about receiving what God has done for them. And so today I want to give you this principle here, that this is what God says. You say, well, preacher, and just real quick, say, preacher, is it fair? Not everybody has a place like this to come to. Not everybody's been in church. Not everybody lives in a part of the world where the Bible's available and all. And I remind you again, you had the Ethiopian eunuch, and God, he wanted more, and God sent him more. We read in the book of Acts that God has put eternity in our hearts. I believe men who respond to the light that God gives them more light. I'm confident that in His providence and in His sovereignty, that God Almighty is big enough and great enough that He can hook up somebody with the truth to somebody who wants more truth. By the way, that's a great thing to pray every day. Lord, help me find somebody who's looking for You. Lord, help me connect with someone who's wanting to connect with You. Lord, help me to be there. How many of you think that the world is full of people looking for somebody just like you and just like me who would love to hear more about the person who says this is wrong and this is right and this is wrong and this is right, and you need more and your heart aches for more? So what does it look like? He says there, very interesting, verse 21, look in your Bibles. When they knew God, knew what? Knew that God was all-powerful, knew that God was greater and bigger than they are, knew that God had done all these things, verse 20, they glorified Him not as God. They glorified Him not as God. We don't use that word very often, glorify not. We use exalt. We talk about superstars. You had the Mayweather and the Conor fight last night, McGregor fight and all, and all those kind of things. And it went 10 rounds, for those of you who didn't know that. I had a news alert this morning early. I don't know why Google thought I was interested in the fight. But anyway, and so you had all these things, and you got these guys, and they're just nothing but puffing up themselves and all. And it's just, we get that. We get the wrong kind of glorification. We get the wrong kind of self-exaltation. What does it mean? What does it mean? If you had to answer today, do you glorify God in your life? How would you answer? It's not a phrase we use very often, is it? Nod your head if you're with me. So what does it mean? Let me, one of my commentaries gave this idea, and I liked it. I want to share. I think it'll be real helpful. It'll be several things to write down. Write down as many as you can. This is going to be a good list. This is going to help you with your friends. It's going to help you with you. This is going to help you with your own spiritual walk. Number one, if I'm going to glorify the Lord, it's going to start here. I'm going to need to confess Him as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to confess Him as my Lord and Savior. See, what does that mean? What does that mean? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God has also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. I get to confess Him as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 12. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Nobody's ever become a Christ follower who did not acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say, I can have Him as Savior and then one day make Him as Lord. And I appreciate churches around here teach that. I just don't find it anywhere in the Bible. I don't see two or three steps there, or four or five steps. I believe there's growth and grace, and I believe that the person who's been saved a while ought to be closer to Christ and ought to be more like Christ as the years go by. I think that's natural growth. I think that's natural health. Look right here at me. But I think the first step you do is you say, God, you're God, and I'm not. You're the Lord, and I'm not. You're the one who's in charge, and I'm not. I believe in You. That You are the one who is who He said He was, and You've done what You've said You would do. I believe that You are the Lord God Almighty. You confess Jesus is Lord. That's a foundation point. That's a foundation point. Number two, I think you ought to be consecrated. Consecrated in everything you do. And we're missing a word there. That's my fault. Consecrated in everything you do. You confess Him as Lord, then you'll be consecrated. What you do? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There ought to be something that's there. Not because you want to be an excellent employee. Say, what do you mean? I believe you can change a diaper for the glory of God. I believe you can cook dinner for the glory of God. I'm not real sure you can kill ants for the glory of God, but you can give it a shot. Amen. I believe you can make your bed for the glory of God. I believe you can pick up trash for the glory of God. I believe you can lay carpet for the glory of God. Excuse me. I believe you can work on power plants for the glory of God. You can do things for His honor and for His glory. You can do those things that will honor God Almighty. Let me help you here. If you think the only thing you can do that matters to God is what you do in these walls a couple of hours on Sunday, you're kind of missing the point here. God has given you vocation and relation in order to show to others that He is worthy and that He is who He says He is and that He is interested in the things that I do in my heart and my life. Let me help you with something. You ought to be a great employee for the glory of God. You ought to be a great employee for the glory of God. Let me help everybody that's married, about to be married, or thinking about getting married. You ought to be a good husband. You ought to be a good wife. Not so it makes him happy, although that's not a bad motive. Nod your head, man, if you think it's a good idea for your wife to be happy. Nod your head. There's a lot of you too scared to nod your head. And y'all be a good husband because it honors and glorifies the Lord. Amen. My standard ought to be, I mean, I'm not doing this to make her happy. My standard is I'm doing this to please Him. If I believe marriage is a divine institution, somebody say amen there. Then Jesus has set the standard. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. I can do that for His honor and His glory. Halfway this and halfway that, that's not giving Him honor and glory. I believe wives, be excellent wives and excellent mothers for the honor and the glory of the Lord. That is it. By the way, if I'm going to do that for Him, He's going to have to help me because I'm insufficient. That's the real beauty of grace, isn't it? God gives me the grace to do what I can't do on my own, to help me do something that in turn I get to give Him the credit for. That sounds like a wonderful thing, doesn't it? An amazing thing. I get to do this for His honor and glory. I think you can do your schoolwork for the honor and glory of the Lord. I think you can play sports for the honor and glory of the Lord. I believe you can do things, all things, to His honor and His glory. I'm going to consecrate this, every car we've ever had. And it was a good prayer on the last one because it's 13 years old. And every car we've ever had, this is yours. This is yours. We were having trouble with the vehicles out there last year. Went out there and prayed. These are Your vehicles, Lord. These are Your vehicles. We had two air units go out last fall, last summer. I walked around all the units. These are Your units, Lord. One up in the attic gave out. I didn't pray for that one. I can't get up there. And it's too hot. And I'm kidding. But these are yours. I mean, you consecrate. You consecrate. What is it in your life and your heart and your occupation and your home that you've not given to God? Number three, you can confess your sins. You can confess your sins. Say, I got problems. Sure. All God's children got problems. I got that. I'm not talking about excusing things. I'm talking about calling them what God calls them. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we would confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look right here for a second. That means I agree with what God says. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. So if God says it's right, it's right. It doesn't matter what I say. It really doesn't. If I'm preaching the Bible, it matters. But it matters what the Bible says. What the Bible says. And next week when we get into all these moral sins, it really matters what God says. Because right now culture says that what's in this text here is not a sin. But the Bible says it's absolutely positively wrong. By the way, it doesn't mean if it's an acceptable sin or a reprehensible sin. Sin is sin if God says it's wrong. And one of the things I can do to glorify Him is confess my sins. There's the older brother sins and what we call the prodigal sins. The prodigal sins were so obvious, weren't they? The prodigal sins, he did what? Man, he took off. He rebelled. He broke his mom and dad's heart. He went out and he lived and he partied and did all those things. And then he came crawling back. The older brother stayed. Older brother had a bad heart just like he did. What did he do? He's full of pride. He's full of arrogance. He's full of envy. If I understand the story right, Jesus here leaves off the last act there where the older brother is going to kill the father. Just like the Jews end up killing Jesus. Confess your sins. We have opportunities most every service. Talk to God. I encourage you not to finish a day. Some of you need to confess your sins horizontally. Some of you, all of us, need to confess our sins vertically. Get specific. You take your car to a dealership and he says, well, you need a couple of things. You say, what things? Well, just a couple of things. You're not going back there. But if he says you need a new air filter and you need a new timing chain, then you go, okay, I need those two things. I've got it. For whatever reason, we go, Lord, forgive me all my sins and all this and all that. And I think sometimes that can be sincere, but I'm a lot more interested in going, Lord, I messed up today. I was short with my son. I was haughty with my wife. I was mad that she hit me. I didn't do that. And all of you that were asleep, you missed that. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, my son, I pray thee, give glory to God of Israel and make confession unto Him. We live in a world full of people who broadcast their sin on social media and then try and hide it from God. It's a crazy upside-down world, isn't it? Confess your sin. Number four, how can I know if I'm glorifying God? Cling to His promises. Trust Him. Trust Him. Kenneth shipped off his baby girl to college. Ting shipped off their baby daughter back to college. Allison escaped. Got off to college. Three of us men will be in room two crying after the service. John and Kathy, I don't know how I forgot that, shipped off their baby girl. All of you shipped off sons, I don't care. And I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Kidding. Somebody bring the tissues. How you do that? How you do that? Because I believe God can take care of them there just like He can take care of them here. My heart will get used to it eventually. I'll be okay. But I'd rather have them 100,000 miles away from the house in the center of God's will than underneath my shadow and out of God's will. Can I get an amen? I said it when I was single. I said it when I was married. And now I say it with someone not at the house. Why? Because it's true. Romans 4:20, Abraham staggered not the promise of God. He's 100, she's 90. He staggered not, giving glory to God. What? That God was going to give him a baby. And at 90, God sends the promised child. You can honor God by praising him. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. You can praise him. You can praise him. I'm not real familiar with the expression. I've heard about five of you. There's an enormous spider there. There's about five of you, Andre, if it moves toward you, just abandon ship. And there's about five or six of you who use this expression around me. And I'm getting used to it. I don't know what it means, all of it. But I like how enthusiastic you are. You say this, you say to me, preacher, I got my worship on this week. And first time somebody said it, I thought it was contagious. And I got my worship on it. And I finally got somebody, I was in the bathroom and playing this song and the acoustics were good. And I was just singing and praising the Lord. I was reading my Bible and I got a great verse and I wrote it out and I carried it with me all week. And every time I read it, man, it just, wow. I think that's what you mean. I'm really old to be using phrases like that. Let me give it to you in two words. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 50, whoever offers praise glorifies me. See, I'm not much of a singer. Learn how to mumble. See, I'm not whatever it is. By the way, I know lots of folks who really get excited about different things. And they all of a sudden say, I have no emotion when it comes to God. Let me help you here, whether it's emotional or not. Again, some folks just not visible in their display of emotion. I'm not saying you got to be something you're not. But there ought to be a wellspring somewhere inside of you that, man, I am excited about who God is. Whether that's a simple smile, whether that's a, yeah, that's good, whether that's an amen, whether that's you just got the radio turned on and you're excited, whether that's you're in your Bible and you're reading and you're saying, man, that's just so good. If you're a crier, if you're a laugher, if you're a clapper, I don't care how that manifests itself, but the outpouring of my life is that, God, you are good. Amen. You watch The Biggest Loser and you cry for people you've never met. You get the big lump in your throat when they do the reveal with Fixer Upper. You bite your nails wondering who's going to win WWE on Monday night. Even though you know it's phony and fixed. But you can't be moved a little about the Lord. Something broke somewhere. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I praise Him with my mouth. Praise Him with my life. I can pray to God. I've got a couple more here. Pray to God. John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I can pray to Him. One of the best things you can do is one of the things we do around here on Wednesday night. So we pray. One of the best things you can do is in the morning or whatever shift you work at, lunch or evening, whatever that time is, you can get up and you get quiet and you talk to God. See, I don't pray to give Him information. Nod your head if you're with me there. I pray because He wants me to pray to Him. I pray because I need to pray to Him. I pray because I'm bringing my will in line with His. Amen. See, when I pray, I go, I'm insufficient, but You're sufficient. When I pray, I go, Lord, not my will, but Yours be done. When I pray this way. Ask God to help me. So how do I know if I'm in rebellion against God? Well, let me check them off for you here. Have you confessed Jesus as Lord? Have you confessed Him as Lord and Savior? Have you given God the things that you do? Let me help you here. Let me help you. Sinful actions are hard to give to God unless you repent. Amen. You consecrate. You confess your sins to God. If you say, well, that's your opinion. It might be my opinion, but my opinion's got a verse behind it. You better believe God's opinion. Amen. Confess your sins to God. Usually by the time people get honest with their sins, the disaster freight train is rolling mighty hard. Our refuse the call to sin, I think that's rebellion. I refuse to acknowledge the sin, that's rebellion. Confess your sins. Cling to his promises. I say this as kindly as I know how. If you live in rebellion to God, and you shake your fist at his word, and you shake his fist at his servants, and your life all of a sudden is tore all to pieces, don't go and say it's God's fault. God put person after person. He put his spirit in. He's been convicting you. Your conscience has been convicting you. He's been speaking to you from all of creation. He's put people in your life, and you said no, 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 and all of a sudden you've reaped everything you've sown. That is not the time to say God is not faithful and true. God's been faithful and true. You've done what you've wanted to, even though God said don't. Confess your sins. Cling to his promises. Pray to him. Number 7, be pure. Be pure in your body. Be pure in your mind. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Be pure. I mentioned in Sunday school, scourge, the scorn right now of pornography. The latest statistics I've read, an institution like you guys attend, Lucas and Logan, the numbers are almost 30 to 35% of women are addicted to pornography and X-rated material. The numbers are almost at 80. It's almost a point where statistically negligible, statistically irrelevant. The numbers are so high for the number of young men who are casual consumers of pornography. It is so prevalent. It is so prevalent that internet providers on last Christmas, internet providers were at a loss because the VR glasses that were very popular and popular now, when people hooked them up, they flooded the porn sites and it spiked their servers on Christmas Day. They were calling in help and buying more bandwidth, all that jazz. You want to glorify God? I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be pure in my body. I'm going to be pure in my mind. I suggest to you a time like no other in our history that is an easy way to show that you belong to Jesus, because the rest of the world has already said this is not a big deal. Be pure. Be pure in your mind. Be pure in your body. Be pure there. You're bought with a price. Glorify God. Serve God in your church. Serve God in your church. This is all just a little word study on what it means to glorify. And I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve God in your local church. What you can do, do. What you can't do, somebody else maybe can do. But I will give God all that I have. Rode a bus to church. I don't ever remember talking about the Bible at my home. Ever. As a kid. I don't say that to anybody's shame. I had Christian school teachers took an interest in me. I'm 14, 15. Everybody else sits together. Everybody else is doing this. Everybody else has got their Bibles. All this, and I'm different, and I'm thinking there's just no way. I went off to Christian college, and just no way. I thought about it, even though I really thought God was calling me to preach. I pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed because it's just my background's so different. Everybody else, you know, they grew up 3 services a week, and they did all this stuff, and you know that just wasn't me. I live far enough away from where I went to church and school that I just didn't have hardly any saved friends that I knew. My senior year, March 15th, I just quit running and said, God, if you want me to preach, you're not getting a whole lot. Here we go. 25 and a half years later, here we are. You can serve God. Say, it doesn't make any difference. I got news for you. You straighten the chairs, you got a happy preacher. You knock down some of the world's most vicious spider webs in the back, you got a happy preacher. In just a few minutes, you'll get an opportunity to find out some information about what does it mean to be part of the greeter team here. All the gifts God has given us, all the people, man, you can serve, you can do, you can be faithful to Him, but you can praise God. I will give you my time and my talent. All those years, man, Rusty mowed the grass, 10 years plus, did it, nobody sticking around, nobody taking his photo, all those kind of things. Lester and Sam, Samantha out here pulling weeds and mowing grass and edging things and doing battle with anthills and all that kind of stuff. And, man, it's unbelievable. Say, how do you know there's ants out here? Because they got on me the other day. And I wasn't doing anything but walking around. Some of you have painted. Some of you crawled around here. No telling how much time Brother Tolos, his guys have spent out here fixing machines and running duck and all this duck work and all these kind of, and I'm leaving out a whole bunch of you. I can tell you, you can serve God. You got an opportunity Saturday. You can drive and let somebody just stick a flyer in the mailbox somewhere and tell people there's a church loved them enough to come and drop off an invitation to his house there. You can do something for him. You can do something for him. And then finally, you can bear the fruit of righteousness. That's how the Bible puts it there. John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so are you my disciples. You can bear fruit. You can live right. You can live right. You can live right. See, John 15, 8 is very opposite of Romans 1:21. See, they rebelled and they glorified him not. Here Jesus says, when you believe in me and you're living for me, it'll be obvious, it'll spring out. You shouldn't take 3 PhDs, 2 pastors, and 4 legal pads to figure out if you're a Christ follower. Amen. Jesus told the parable about the 100 sheep, 99 of them were safe, one was lost. They said the shepherd went out and found the one that's lost. Look right here. To the last day I'm here, I'm going to spend my time, I hope, chasing, trying to find folks who need to be found. Nod your head if you understand that. But the 99 who know better, we shouldn't have to chase them all the time. Can I get an amen there? Now, I'm glad to. But the 99 are supposed to know the Lord. They're supposed to know the shepherd's voice. Say, preacher, I didn't do all these. I'm not there. Well, good. I struggle with a few of myself. There's some areas of rebellion in my life. You need to give those to Christ. You need to call them what they are. Say, I'm not doing exactly what I want to in this area. I think you need to give that to the Lord. Lord, help me here. See, when they rebelled, they glorified him not. They didn't pay him the honor in their life that they were supposed to. See, what's the war look like? It looks like very visibly these 9 things. How can I know? How can I know? What's that look like? What's that look like? You say, preacher, I know I'm a believer. I know I'm a Christ follower, but I'm struggling here. Good, good, good. The war's going on. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. Say, preacher, I've never confessed him as Lord. Today's your day. Today is your day. Today's your opportunity. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you're perfect and that you died for me and you rose again, and I believe you want to change my life, and I want to submit to you. You want you to be my Lord, and I want to follow you. God says, I will change your life, forgive you your sins, and then you follow him in a life of obedience. See, that's the war. That's the war. We glorified him not as God. What does it mean to glorify him? Pray with me right now. Our time is done. Pray with me. Some of you have been here for a while, and you just have a lot of spiritual needs. Some of you are not sure that if you died like you are, you're not real sure about your eternal destination. Maybe you are sure, and you're concerned about that. I want to invite you today. I want to invite you. In just a moment, you'll have an opportunity to come and respond. You'll have an opportunity at the end of the service. I'll be outside and by the information desk as you come in. I'll be glad to talk with you. We have other adults who'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you, answer your questions. You may think, boy, if I'm just good enough, and God says, no, nobody's good enough. I'm the only one good enough. Well, I haven't sinned as much as other people. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just that easy to be a sinner. And it's just that damning and condemning. The reality is we haven't just sinned once. We have repeatedly rebelled against God. And God's speaking to us today. And maybe you're here and you're like, I know I'm a Christ follower, but boy, there's all this jazz. It's all this stuff. And God's really spoke to my heart about it. Now I want to be right with Him. I want to be right with Him. And God's speaking to you today. I want to invite you to deal with Him. Respond to Him. You say, preacher, today, God's really speaking to my heart. I really want to be a Christ follower. I really want to be a Christ follower. Or maybe in the time past I made a decision, but I've been not right with the Lord, but God's really speaking to my heart today. Would you just pray with me this morning? Nobody's going to call on you or come to you, but there's needs and concerns in my life, and boy, God's spoken to my heart today. Would anybody else slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Boy, thank you. Boy, a lot of hands. Thank you. Thank you. In just a moment, thank you. Boy, thank you. You can deal with God where you are, whatever He's put there, whatever you need to confess. Maybe you've never asked Christ to save you. Maybe you've never followed up and obedience and believer's baptism. Maybe you've never made that public profession of faith. Today's the opportunity. Today's your day. You say, preacher, I'm here this morning and I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about people who say they know Christ, but boy, they live in rebellion. They live in rebellion, and that bothers me. I'm concerned about them. I want to pray for them. Would you pray for me this morning? I have friends, coworkers, relatives, neighbors, and they're not living for God. They're not living for Him. They're living and obeying to Him. Would you pray for me this morning? Pray for them. Thank you. Boy, a lot of hands. I have people in my heart, people I care about. Thank you. Thank you. Our altars are open this morning. Music begins to play. Stand with us to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to respond this morning. Father, have your will and way right now in our service. Be honored and glorified this morning. Help folks that you are speaking to do business with you, Lord, whether that's on bended knee, around the altar, or here on these front chairs, well, however it is. Lord, draw them right now, I pray, in Christ's precious name. Our heads are bowed as we begin to sing this morning. God spoke to your heart. Some of you are praying for people. You're concerned about them. You're worried about them. You don't know. You don't know if they're their spiritual state, but they live like they're in rebellion. They've dishonored and disobeyed and not glorified God. See, what we believe we do, and what we do shows our heart so many times. And I'm praying for them this morning. Some of you got people you want to get here next week. You want them here for Labor Day, and you want them here for the picnic and the cookout, and you want them here so they can hear the Word of God and they can get connected with other Christians and they can have their life changed. Boy, pray for them right now. Make it a point. I'm going to get them here next week. I'm going to bring my food. I'm going to bring my grill. I'm going to bring my ice cream maker, and I'm going to bring my friends, bring my family. I'm going to make sure they're in the house of God so they can hear the Word of God and they can get to know the Son of God. He can change their life. If you're here and you're just brokenhearted, I want to let somebody know. Let somebody pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you're just struggling. Again, God can help you. God gives the standard and then God gives us the help. And God lets us know the areas that we need work on and the areas we're paying to. And lets us show the work of grace in our lives. Father, thank you for your goodness and kindness to us, for the word of God, for speaking to our hearts. I pray that you bless now. Thank you for the service today, for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. We love you and we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' precious name and amen. Amen. Look right here just for a moment. Just for a moment. Don't forget a couple of things. All our guests, we do have a little gift for you right in the lobby, the welcome area, right beside the barista machine there. Please see me. I look forward to speaking to you. If you're remotely interested, you don't have to sign up today, but we're just going to give you some information about our greeter team and all and what that means. We continue, the Lord gives us a lot of guests, and we really want to do a good job. We've been doing a good job. Some of you are newer to our ministry, our fellowship. We want to help you. It's not an every week thing. It's a every few week thing, but we want you to do that. You can get information right over here. I'm just going to be real fast with you. You'll be right out the door. But stay here if you're remotely interested. Anybody can serve, and we want you to do that, and we're excited about you doing that as well. And then thank you. Thank you so much. A lot of things coming up. Don't forget your programs and all, and we're excited about that. Let's be dismissed this morning. I think I've said everything I need to say. Let's be dismissed. We're just about on time, and we'll be out of here. Thank you for being here today. Dallas Kinder dismisses.